Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a podcast by two dry millennials learning to live their most authentic lives after booze.
Hi, I'm Katie. I have been alcohol-free for 495 days.
Hell yeah.
I know, I feel like 500 is a big one.
Yeah. It is a big one. 500 days of sober.
Ooh, I like that. I remember when we did that episode for you.
Yeah, I know. Now you're already like past that. We're both like so much further.
I know, crazy. Today's been an okay day. I mean, it's been so full. I feel a little overwhelmed, but like mostly just so with like gratitude for all of the things I'm able to do and people I can connect with in a day. And so, yeah, I had three meetings today. I worked a full work day. My sister is currently in labor. Now I'm recording and I go to Laguna tomorrow to maybe see my new baby niece and provide some support for them and their family.
That's so exciting.
I know. It is exciting. How are you, Kaylee?
I love little babies. I am 19 months, or speaking of how you talk about babies. Yeah. Or 1 year and 7 months and 2 days sober today. So I got my IUD out today. because I've been on hormonal birth control since I was 15. I'm 31 now, so it's over half my life. And I really want to know what my body feels like without it. So we're doing a little trial run, but it was horrible. It was just the most uncomfortable, painful feeling. I was so anxious. I was shaking in the doctor's room. And it is a procedure that only takes like 30 minutes, you know, like you just kind of yank it out. But I screamed and like my body like just immediately froze up. And my doctor had to be like, I didn't mean to yell at you, but you just can't move when I'm like trying to take
when I have forceps inside of you.
When I'm like trying to take something out of your body. And I just felt fucking weird afterwards. Like, she was amazing. She was so nice to me. As I was screaming, I was saying I'm sorry like simultaneously. And she was so nice, but I just felt so violated isn't the right word. I just felt fucking awful afterwards. And I got in my car and I sobbed for like 10 minutes and just felt horrible. And then I drove to Whole Foods and spent $80 and I got ice cream from Milk Bar that is flavored like pie. I got guac, no chips, just guac. I don't know. It sounded good. And a bunch of other snacks like a kombucha. But man, I was fucking in the alcohol aisle just pacing. That's like, okay, what kind of NA options do they have? Do they have NA wine? Like, should I just get regular wine? Like, I was going through it. I was about to shotgun a beer in the parking lot. Because I just felt so bad and I hadn't felt that bad before. But I ended up reminding myself that I don't like NA beer, but I do really like Guava Goddess kombucha and sweets. So I got salted caramels and bought myself a new candle and now I'm chilling. Now I'm feeling good. Tomorrow's Friday. It's going to be hopefully a pretty easy day at work. And then I had someone cancel plans with me tomorrow night. So I am like,
hell yeah. Oh. We love a free Friday.
I know. I told them that too. I was like, please don't feel bad at all. I love when people cancel plans.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee, I feel like now I should share with the listeners too. I also had my IUD out this last week.
Yeah, we are.
We're like... We're bare uterus twins.
Ew. And my doctor, like, as soon as it was out and I was done screaming, she was like, you are fertile now. And I was like, ew, don't say that.
No.
Ew.
Yeah.
Don't call me fertile.
Well, I had my first male OB. It was a good experience. I mean, as good as it can be. And he's also my husband's primary care physician and was just like, do I need to talk to you about birth control methods? I think legally I'm supposed to. So he had to like go through all of these like birth control methods. But it was sweet. He was like, I'm really proud of you for like taking control of your body and wanting to take a break from synthetic hormones. And like the IUD was legit. It was seriously my favorite birth control I've ever been on. So like no hate, no shame, but
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it.
Same thing with me. I've been on birth control since I was 13. I just had like really terrible, you know, menstrual side effects. And, you know, just like the we villainize period cramps and all of the other things that come along with it. So a doctor was just like, let's just take care of that for you. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see what this does for us, Kaylee. We're on this journey together.
I know. We'll have to give updates if
anyone cares.
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, when I was on Prozac before I was on birth control, because I started that when I was 13. But since then, I've been on like 10 milligrams of Lexapro, 20 milligrams of Lexapro, 40 milligrams of Lexapro, like 40 milligrams of Lexapro plus 150 XL milligrams of Wellbutrin. And I'm just so curious to see, like, I don't know, I kind of want to like eventually clean the slate and just see how I like who I am as a human being, like what is my natural resting state, because I have no idea.
Yeah, well, especially now that you're in a safe environment, mm-hmm. and you've created that for yourself and you're like digging in and doing some of the work, like what could my life look like without all of these like very helpful and very, you know, totally 100% necessary medications that you've been on, mm-hmm. but like, let's, you know, get a little peek inside to see what's going on. Have you what's your new baseline?
Yeah.
Speaking of baseline,
what are we talking about this week? Not our
reproductive systems.
Yeah. I mean, we can keep it. No. Well,
I know. We could do an episode on it.
Yeah. What are we talking about this week, though?
Okay. So we talk a lot about being alcohol free on this podcast. Obviously, we're the dry hard pod fam. But Kaylee and I are both ambassadors for and are partnered with Reframe app. And something that is really important, not just to us, but I think this new Sober Curious space is, what if I just want to reevaluate my relationship with alcohol? Is there another path I can take besides quitting entirely? So we really wanted to take the time to focus specifically on the cutback method today. And we thought a lot of our listeners, maybe you have been alcohol-free for a certain amount of time. Maybe you're considering it. Or maybe you just like to listen to us talk about our birth control. Not really sure. But we just kind of wanted to offer some more variety and play around with that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So the cutback method is basically exactly what it sounds like. Instead of cutting out alcohol completely, going cold turkey, never drinking again, et cetera, or just deciding like, as of day one, I'm going to take this one day at a time and not drink alcohol. This is really about identifying how much you currently drink and then cutting back from there. So you're still drinking, but you're drinking more consciously, more mindfully.
Yeah. Like getting down to the nitty gritty, like, why are we drinking? Like really trying to identify that relationship to be able to change it, which is so exciting for some people. Like, bless you all.
Yeah.
Oh, we love you.
We love you. So today we're going to go through our personal experiences with the cutback method, more detail of if that seems interesting to you, how you can go about doing it. There are definitely some ground rules that we want to cover just to make sure that it is something that's done successfully and safely, and then some homework at the end if you're up for it.
Yeah. So. Yes. And I want to just pop in with a little disclaimer here. If you're someone who's freshly sober or someone who really, you know, feels triggered by this conversation, you do not have to listen to this episode. Like, we're not here to tell people to drink or to cut back or to not drink even, you know, like we're just here to have these conversations and broaden the horizons of the Sober Curious community. So this is, everyone is welcomed, but also if it doesn't feel like a good space for you today, that's okay too.
I'm glad that you called that out, Katie, because it can be something that isn't for everyone, depending on where you're at in your journey. I would say if you're like 5 weeks or 5 days, you know,
or five weeks, not drinking.
Yeah. And yeah, and this is not something that feels good for you to hear. Turn it off and go re-listen to our episode with Therapy Jeff or Vince.
Always.
You know,
yeah,
our first one. So, okay. So Kaylee.
I'm gonna do a little switcheroo. I want to hear about your cutback trials and tribulations. Like, what was that relationship like when you started to consider not drinking? Tell us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I still need to bust out my journal for you all. Maybe I will do some journal readings on our Patreon if you sign up. Let me know if you'd be interested in that. I'd be happy to crack that that sucker open. But since 2013, I've been wanting to I do not feel good about the way that I drink. I know that. I don't like this. I keep doing it, but I really don't want to do it anymore. But like a lot of people, I think the thought of never drinking alcohol again, or, you know, summers, camping, vacation, like all of that, I start to spiral and I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to quit. I don't want to never have alcohol again, which is funny now because I'm, you know, a year and a half sober. And I really don't think about it as much as I was worried I would. But the easiest way for me, and what I wanted to start with these baby steps, was to cut back. So I'm only going to drink on the weekends. And then because, and I know Katie and I relate to this, and I want to hear more about yours next, but just not having any tools. We didn't know that Reframe existed. We didn't have a community hanging out with drinkers, trying to do all the same things, but limit my consumption. So I was only drinking on weekends, spiraled into like one day a week and then weekends. Like, I just made an exception for myself whenever I wanted to.
I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, okay, I can have a drink 2 weekdays this week, as long as I don't do any weekdays next week and only do the weekend. Like, it became very complicated.
And like, with no resources about why or how.
No, I was just like trying to live my normal life and just like not go to pod every single day after work. But those habits are really deeply ingrained. So what about you, Katie? What did that look like for you?
Well, I literally have it written down here and I feel like I've said it before, but if I had a dollar for every time I said I was going to cut back on my drinking, I would be rich.
And when you say like you said you were going to cut back on drinking, did you tell anyone about cutting back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely am someone who gains a lot of energy from sharing what I'm working on or what is exciting to me or what I'm feeling passionate about. And so, like, you know, I'd wake up with that really bad hangover. I'd tell Steve, like, I'm not drinking anymore. Or I'm drinking less, mostly. I'm just only going to have 2 beers. And then I like would slowly like see myself sneaking to the kitchen to drink more, or, you know what I mean? Just like silently drinking. But my wanting to cut back started when Steve and I got more serious and I became a step parent. Mm-hmm. And the hangovers are just gnarly when you're taking a preschooler to school.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? And then going to work all day. It's like, it just hit different. So yeah, I really remember making these rules for myself that were like, I'm only going to drink before events. Like, I'm only going to drink before events to like really just like help lubricate, you know, my personality or my anxiety or, mm-hmm. you know, the story we tell ourselves. And literally every night that week, we had an event or something social going on. So I was still drinking every night.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the definition of what an event is, like, goes from wedding to
girls' night
or, like, going out to dinner real fast.
Yeah. And if you knew me in my past life, much like you know me now, right? I'm like, usually my calendar is pretty booked. Now it's more so like for my social media business, for the business that we're running, our day job that we're running, Dry Hard or the sobriety community, or just meeting and collaborating with community. My schedule was very much like that then, but it was filled with reasons to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And social events. Like, if I was bored, I could not do something on a Friday night. Like, there's no way. I couldn't sit with myself long enough to be able to just be alone. And so I always found a reason to drink. But like you were saying, I wish Reframe app were around then. And I also wish that I knew about Thousand Hours Dry and about this Instagram community and about podcasts. And like, the thing is like, maybe I didn't know that they were there, but I also wasn't actively seeking resources to make the changes. And oftentimes when I was making really stringent rules around when and how and what I was going to be drinking, I would way overdo it the next time. So like I would cut back one night and then it would launch me in to serious sedation the following night. And that is where binge drinking becomes really dangerous when people are trying to cut back, which is something that we'll cover later on in this episode. Because have you guys ever done that? Right? Like, think to yourself, like anyone who's listening, oh yeah, like I said, I was only gonna have one drink on Tuesday and one drink on Thursday and then four on the weekend, but I usually drink 16 drinks a week. Like, cutting back by that amount just is not feasible for a lot of people. You're setting yourself up for failure, and I was doing that. Or like Kaylee, I love the one that's like, I'm not gonna drink hard liquor, I'm just gonna drink wine. Like, wine is really high in alcohol percentage.
And it's like, okay, so I'm going to drink two bottles of it. Like, bye. Yes. I'm still going to like pass the fuck out.
Yeah. So Kaylee, question.
Yes.
Okay. So that was like pre being sober. That's like what our cutback situation was like, which is like,
yeah, we tried.
Barely.
And it didn't work.
What's your relationship with cutting back now? Like, what does that look like for you?
It is ever evolving. I feel like it changes. Sometimes I think that I'm ready and that I could incorporate more of a cutback situation into my life. But then when I think about why I'm wanting that, it's to not have to be in an uncomfortable situation. So I'm going to New York in October, and it is going to be the first trip with just me and my partner where I'm not drinking. And New York, looking at all of the things to do, like I want to go to a club, and just thinking of like, oh, well, I can't do that if I just, you know, get high, because I get really anxious in crowded situations and I might have a panic attack. But I also don't want to do it stone cold sober. So I've been kind of having those conversations with myself lately, which is good. And it's important to have them like now instead of when I'm
in the moment
and in New York, because then if I make a decision, it's a decision that I feel good about and that I decided to do. And then if it feels shitty afterwards, then that's information. But I know myself and I know how badly I will beat myself up. I am working on that, but it is to me not worth it. Playing the tape forward, which is another little trick, I just know I won't feel good about it. And I know it won't be worth it. Thanks to a million people who have done that and have talked about their experience. And they're like, I don't even like the taste anymore, you know, is what I've been hearing from some people, which is really reassuring because it's like, okay, you went down that path. So, and who knows, it can be different for everyone. But long story short, I think that it can definitely work for some people to do a bout of sobriety, decide that they want to have a more conscious relationship with alcohol and fucking nail it. But knowing myself, knowing my past relationship with alcohol, being able to have this thing that I'm really, really proud of that I've been able to hold on to for so long. At this point, I, you know, have the thoughts, have been thinking about it, and I just don't think it's something that I want to do right now. I want to keep riding this train and see how long I can go. But what about you, Katie? How do you feel about it?
So I think for me, the question will always be intention. Last week, I had a bad day when I had my IUD removed.
I was triggered today too.
And so maybe I'll just go down the rabbit hole with that really quick.
Yeah, tell us.
Okay, so I commute 45 minutes each way to work, which is like, I'm blessed up. A, my business pays for my fuel, and B, like people commute 2 hours, right? When you live in LA, like 45 minutes is nothing. But however, sometimes it just makes like giving myself time to get to my appointments like a little bit less manageable. Mm-hmm. And I am a habitual overscheduler, overcommitter, and I forget the times and I get things mixed up. And I'm using my Google Calendar, but even that, like, I, you know, struggle with. So I am like on my way. I have given myself an hour to get there. I'll be there 15 minutes early, leaving work, and I get a text and it's like, your doctor's ready to see you now. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm not supposed to be there for another 45 minutes. So I call. Well, my appointment was at 4 o'clock or at 3 o'clock, not at 4 o'clock.
Oh, shit.
So I, time is a huge trigger for me. For anyone who has any sort of abandonment stuff or like an anxious attachment style, I'm sure you can relate that like when people are late and when you're late, it's like the biggest letdown or like the biggest sign that you don't care or that you're a failure or that, you know, someone's not going to show up. And like, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I really struggle with that. Being on time like throws me off my game. I feel like I shouldn't even go. If I can't show up perfectly, then I don't want to show up, you know? There's a lot of shame that I have around that. So I call the doctor's office and they're like, you know, your doctor really wants to help you. So just drive safe and just get here when you can. And I was like, okay, well, they're going to have 20 minutes to get this IUD out of me and do like a pelvic exam. Like, what? So I like frantically call Kaylee too on my way, which is so sweet that she was there for me to hold space for me when I needed that. But on the way there, I was like, okay, just vibe, girl. Like, roll down your windows, put your music on. I've been like having some go-to feel-good music lately that's really been helping me. I like tried not to road rage, and I was just really conscious about even the thoughts I was having around it. Like, as soon as I was like, you're a failure, you don't even have a mask. You don't have a fucking mask, you know, like you need a mask to go in. And I was like, okay, wait, they're going to have a mask. They're a healthcare provider.
Yeah.
So it's just so funny. I'm like literally narrating myself, like my critical, like we talked about on last week's episode, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm narrating these voices. And so I get there. She was like, your blood pressure is going to be through the roof. You have rushed here, you feel late, you feel bad, like, so just take this with a grain of salt. Turns out my meditation practice is working. My blood pressure and heart rate were great. They were totally like below average, like they were awesome. And she was like, this is proof that that shit works. Like, mindfulness is a practice that everyone should be doing, you know.
Hell yeah.
And that felt really good. It felt really good. And then yeah, my doctor was like, basically, you have time for you to sit down and cough and get this thing out of you, and then you got to go. So that's what I
Pants
did.
Down,
and
when let's I,
go. Yeah, when and they were great. My doctor, he was fantastic. He's so cool. We talked about a couple things, and even after I left, they called to check on me to make sure that I was okay, because it was literally like it came out. They left me, you know, like a pad on the counter, and were like, bye. And they had another appointment.
Yeah,
so probably two at this point. So they called me, and when they called me, I was in the local bakery. I talk about a lot because it was like my coping mechanism in the first 6 months of sobriety. But I was at Sweet Life, and when I used to go to Sweet Life, I used to stop at this store right around the corner called New Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
I remember New Frontier. Mm-hmm. It's like this super cute, like hippie, natural, local fruits and veg, and like all of these amazing assortments of wines and beers. And I just like got this ping where I was like, oh, I really want a sour to go with my key lime pie tartlet.
That makes me feel so much better that I was like wandering aimlessly, like bleeding through the Whole Foods aisle today.
Yes. Yeah. And I was just like, no, dude. Like, if you're going to drink, like, it's going to be in a controlled environment where you're not doing it to cope with the feeling. And until that's possible, alcohol is a no way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my idea around alcoholism and the illness of alcoholism and, you know, the way that AA paints alcoholism and even some therapists, you know, with addictive personalities and things like that. I really don't know what I believe in. My dad's an alcoholic and like one who's like, it runs in your blood, Katie, you know, like he very much tells me that. Some part of me is like, well, you broke the cycle. Like, you've been sober for 10 years. Like, it doesn't have to run in my blood anymore. I can like make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't a lot of science that backs up this like passing the sickness of alcoholism down. However, generational trauma exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the like, and you know, here's the thing. Is that the same thing? Maybe, right? Like, when you're raised by decades and decades and decades, and I almost should say generations of people who have drinking problems, like, it's hard not to believe that that's not, shit's not embedded in your blood.
It's like, so hard to, like, the age-old nature versus nurture, like, am I doing this because this is what I've seen and I'm repeating the behavior that has been showcased to me my entire life?
Man, this just, like, this went in a totally different direction than I was planning on taking it, but I think it's a conversation that, like, we all tread around lightly because I'm not a scientist, you know? Like, oh my gosh, if Kayla Lyons were on this episode, she would be able to tell us, like, scientifically all of the information about it. And it's so awesome. Go listen to her podcast, Emotionally Immobile. Actually, no, they just changed it to Generation Dry.
Okay.
Go listen to Generation Dry. Great information. And Sober Powered. Gil is amazing. She gives, like, all of the science behind alcohol. So if you're looking for that resource, fam, go check them out. But anyways, I digress. Yeah, I just had to say to myself, like, dude, you can't drink because you just got kicked out of the doctor's office because you got your IUD yanked out. Like, like, that's not, I think I said IDU, IUD. Yeah. But, and so I went home and I bought a lemon drop cheesecake. Ooh. At, like, slice at Sweet Life, a key lime pie tartlet with graham cracker crust. It's, like, the best thing in the world.
Love that graham cracker.
And then I also got, like, a little blonde brownie. And I went home and my family was like, wow, I can't wait to eat dessert with you. And I was like, this is my dessert. I didn't get you anything.
This is not for you, family.
Back the fuck up. So, yeah, you know, so I don't know about a future cutback relationship with alcohol. I'd like to think that at some point in my life, I'll be integrated enough to be like, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I also like to think that at that point, I'll be integrated enough to also understand that alcohol is a poison in any form, regardless of how much I'm drinking. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way genuinely. So I don't really know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's hard, I think, now that you have as much information as we have, to want that for ourselves. And at least for me, I realize that it's a slippery slope because I have done 30 days and then went back to drinking for like 2 years and then did 60 days and then went back to drinking for like a year. Like, I just know it takes me a lot longer to get back on the wagon. making sure I said that right, really concentrating. But yeah, if I get kicked off, I'm gonna have to like chase that sucker down miles to hop back on. So, and that's okay. Like, I'm not saying that to like beat myself up or to be like, I just can't do it. I'm not as good as anyone else. I wish I could be a normal drinker, but I'm not. I'm just kind of like, yeah, I just don't know if it's worth it, man.
Right. I think that that's huge. And like you said, like, you know, you're the type of person that beats yourself up. And so sometimes I also think, just like if you believe in addictive personalities or, you know, however, whatever your theory is around that, like understanding your own personality and knowing yourself enough, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And not drinking alcohol has helped me get to know myself so much. So I just want that to keep going.
For sure.
So getting back to like the cutback method, I think, you know, we kind of started like, yeah, it didn't work for us. But to reiterate, we just didn't know how. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh. And maybe if I could go back and I was doing that same work that I'm doing now sober, but I was doing it and maybe having a drink once a month or something like that, like it might work for me.
Yeah. And I think that there's, you know, the whole reason we did this episode is because we feel like there's a lot of people who probably don't feel good about their current relationship with alcohol that think that they have to go all or nothing and quit cold turkey. And you don't.
You actually shouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you shouldn't.
Like most of you. Yeah. But first, before that, we need to take a break for our sponsors.
Oh, we do. Okay. If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DryHardPod for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
Okay, so at this point, we've hopefully convinced you to at least be curious about the cutback journey. How do you do it? What is it? How do you make sure you do it safely and sustainably?
Yeah, so let's first of all talk about the taper method. So like I said before, Kaylee and I work directly with Reframe app, and we wouldn't if we didn't believe in it. So I think that's pretty cool. And for those of you who have been using our code, thank you. You're awesome. I'm proud of you for taking responsibility for your relationship with alcohol and being curious. Like, we don't know who it is, but we get notified of how many people, and quite a few of you are using it each month. So kudos. So the taper method is suggested to anyone that's drinking more than 10 drinks a week. So when you hear 10 drinks a week, Kaylee, you're like, whoa, that's a lot, right? Like, we all do that. That's not that many drinks.
Yeah. Okay, Katie. So drinks is in like...
Okay. So should I go over how many drinks? Like, how? What is a drink?
Yeah. I was doing bunny ears, or like, you know, quotations. I feel like it's like, what even is the drink? Because for me, we would all call my wine glass the big gulp.
So there are five glasses of wine in a wine bottle.
Okay.
So if you're drinking one bottle twice a week, that is considered binge drinking.
Okay. Yeah. I would do that in a day. So.
Right. Yeah. So I guess I take that back. So like five or more alcoholic beverages for men in one sitting is considered binge drinking. Seven or more in one sitting is considered heavy drinking.
Okay.
When you're doing either more than once a month, you're causing yourself severe damage to your body. That is the truth about it, which just people don't talk about this, right? We don't know. So when you go to the restaurant and you order a pint is 16 ounces of alcohol.
So that's already more than the 12-ounce like standard one drink serving.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. So for those of you who don't know, 12 ounces of beer is one drink, not 16 ounces of beer.
So if you have, we're going to test to see if I can get my math right.
Math.
Oh, God. If you have, so one 12-ounce beer, one can of beer is considered one drink. And if you have five of those, then that's like kind of your cap before you start getting into like...
The higher level of drinking.
The higher level. And we're not saying like the unhealthy amount, because there is no healthy amount, but... mm-hmm. You really start to see the physical negative effects intensify.
Yes.
And yeah.
Great point. Right. So Kaylee, so with that being said, now that we know what a drink is, so wine is 5 ounces, beer is 12 ounces, and liquor is 1.5 ounces. So like usually when you're pouring shots at home, you guys, let's be real, you're pouring a 2-ounce shot, because that's what one of those shot glasses is 2 ounces.
Yeah. And I know I have a shot glass that I use now to take my NyQuil. That's from England, and it's a little bit smaller. So depending on where you live, like the sizes might be different.
But the ounces never change, right? Like, so 1.5 ounces, yeah, is one drink. Mm-hmm. And in a drink, if you go to a bar and you get a double, that's usually 2 and some.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not physically the amount that fits in a pint glass. It's the actual content of the alcohol that goes into what's in the glass as well.
I'm just laughing because of our drop shots that we used to drink all the time. And it's like,
holy shit,
oh, I just had one drink. And it's like, that was so many liquors mixed into one. Like, you can't have like a Long Island iced tea and be like, it was just one drink. But it's like,
no, that's like 4 shots of alcohol.
That's 4 drinks.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with all that being said, Kaylee, tell us a little bit about the taper method.
Yeah. Okay. So if you want to cut back, it is really important to first establish a baseline. That's like number one, right? Like, track your drinks, understand how much alcohol goes into a drink, what a drink is, right? Like, make sure your glass is empty instead of, if you were like me, I would just continue to pour wine in my glass, so it was never empty, which is probably a subconscious tactic.
So like you would have only drink half of your glass and then topped it off again already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's tricky. That's a sneaky one.
Yeah. Because then you just never really see someone finishing and drinking another one. And it's like, no, it can maybe be the same one. Don't do that. Finish your drink. Pour another drink, measure it, like use measuring cups if you have to, or, you know, whatever you have at hand to figure out how much alcohol you're actually consuming, because then you can actually evaluate your relationship and start to see where you're at with those numbers that you mentioned.
I love that.
So then once you have that information, it's really important to taper off, because it is not good for your body to shock your body by withdrawing when you are drinking a lot of alcohol. Withdrawal is something intense that will happen regardless of how much you drink, but the intensity of that varies depending on how much you usually drink. So headaches, nausea, all of that stuff. But when you are a really heavy drinker and you decide to quit cold turkey, your body can actually go into such shock that your heart will spasm. You can get seizures. You can actually die. Like, worst case, you die. And then, like, best case scenario, you're going from 0 to 100. You're saying, okay, I drink this many drinks a week. I'm going to drink 0 next week. You fail. You beat yourself up. And then you're back to those same drinking patterns. And I'm saying that harshly, but with love, because I've done it.
Right.
So tapering off recommends that you take your baseline that you've established by tracking your drinking and slowly go down from there by 10% a week. And that is going to help to have like a more smooth withdrawal period. It's going to set you up for success. It's just like not feasible and not safe to go from 20 drinks a week to 0. Right. It's just not. So yeah, that is the method that is recommended. Whether you eventually want to just cut back or quit entirely, take those baby steps and go down a little bit each week, just to make sure that you're doing it in a way that's sustainable.
It's sustainable. And like we've talked about too, it sets you up for success to be able to actually cut back.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing more defeating than being like, oh, I'm just going to drink one drink. This is what I was kind of getting to. Like, if you're like someone who drinks 10 drinks a week, which is not that much compared to how I was drinking, mm-hmm. if I get real with myself, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing. If you are willing to take radical responsibility here, because that's what you have to do to cut back.
Yeah. And it's put like, it in a journal. Like, yeah. You don't have to tell anyone. You don't have to post on Instagram, mm-hmm. like, here's a story of how much I drank this week. Like,
please don't.
Yeah.
Like, you'll get a lot of messages of people being concerned and or mad, because then they have to question their relationship with alcohol. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like if you go from, like Kaylee said, 0 to 100, you're like, okay, I drink 10. My baseline is 10 drinks. I'm only going to drink one. Your ass is going to go through withdrawals. You're going to be pissed off. You're going to go back for another drink. However, I did it.
You're going to feel like you just got your IUD ripped out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I quit cold turkey, but that's because I didn't know cutback was an option for mm-hmm. me. I probably would have tapered.
Yeah.
Now that I know, like, that it's better for your brain, it's better for your nervous system, it's better for your immune system, like, immune system, not immune. It's all around, right? And your mental health. Depression and anxiety are a bitch when you come off alcohol.
Yeah. And also, like, we want to hit those check marks. We want to feel like we're doing a good job. I was a kid who, like, wanted my paper to come back with a little gold sticker on it, you know? So like if you track your drinks and you drink 5 drinks a week or 10 drinks a week or 30 drinks a week, whatever. And then the next week, like if you drink 5 drinks a week and then the next week you drink 4 drinks a week, just one less drink a week.
Hell yeah.
That is a win. That is a check of the box. That is like, I did it. And now next week, I just have to drink one less. And now next week, I just have to drink one less. Like, you can do less than 10% to cut back, too.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It's up to you. You can cut back by one drink a week.
Totally.
And that's still huge for your body, for your mental health, for everything.
Right. And I would say, too, like, you know, when we are on the forum for Reframe App, there's a lot of discussion about this. And this is the one piece of advice. I mean, there's a lot of advice that I would like to give. But one that could actually really be beneficial. Cutting back is an across-the-board cutting back. So, like, I would not say that it's beneficial to be like, I'm going to drink 10 drinks this week instead of 15, but I'm only going to drink one drink on Monday and then I'm going to drink 11 drinks on Saturday. Like, we really need to have the conversation around binge drinking. Mm-hmm. It is detrimental to your health. And it's what I was doing, right? I was binge drinking 3 days a week. I wasn't drinking every day for the most part. I mean, my relationship with alcohol was always kind of ebbing and flowing different depending on what was going on in my life. But it's the five or more alcoholic beverages at one time for men and the four or more for women, at least just, I mean, one time a month that is bad for your brain and for your mental health and that keeps you in a cycle of doing it again, you know? Anyone listening, like, can you really think back to a time where you're like, I'm never drinking again because you binge drink? And then 5 days later, you do it again.
Yeah, you take a few days off.
And then you, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like Kaylee said, finding that sustainable way to have two drinks at a social get-together, have two drinks, you know, the next Sunday, and that's your four drinks, and that's great. You know, if you're drinking to look for a buzz, that is typically by definition a problematic relationship with alcohol. Mm-hmm. If you're drinking one beer because you like the taste of it, hell yes, that is healthy as fuck, you know? But also don't be delusional. Like, let's not lie to ourselves here. We're doing this to get better, not to beat ourselves up and not to make up fucking shit that's not true.
Yeah, and if you...
about alcohol.
And, like, slide into my DMs if you want some... If you just don't want to feel alone with those feelings or if you're feeling shame, because I will, high five you and be like, I was right there with you, brother. Like,
yeah,
I drink to get fucked up.
Yep, same. And I lied to myself about it. I lied. I was like, no, I just do this because I'm social. This is just who I am. I'm just a good time. But it's like, really, I don't like my life. I'm not happy about these decisions I'm making. I don't have boundaries. I don't know how to say no. And my self-worth is really low.
I was like, I love getting drunk. And then it was like, oh, shit, because I hate myself and I'm uncomfortable. Yes. Let's get to the root of this. So,
Yeah. And so, like, if you're one of those listeners right now who's kind of just like, okay, cool. Katie, how would you propose that I only have two drinks when I fucking hang out with Margaret next week? Please enlighten me. Well, there is a lot that goes into this, but I want to first bring up HALT. For anyone on the cutback method, I do not recommend drinking because you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, right? Like, let's meet our basic needs first. Always, every day, before we pick up or go for alcohol or we go to a social event, specifically when we're on the cutback method, you are almost always going to be setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. And just like going through like, okay, hungry, eat. Angry, take a nap. Yeah. Lonely, take a nap.
Take a nap.
Tired, take a nap.
Yeah, like there's always another solution, right? So I think that that's like using some time to reflect and find the root cause of where that drinking want or need is coming from first. And then another thing that I like to recommend to people is they're like, okay, I'm going to this event this weekend. I'm going to, we're recording this on Cinco de Mayo. So it's like, I'm going to a Cinco de Mayo party. Like, what should I do? It's like, okay, get 8 hours of sleep the night before. I know that sounds fucking ridiculous, but it makes all the difference. You know, eat three meals that day and drink at least 60 ounces of water. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, or make sure.
Maybe move your body.
If you're going to a party that there are snacks, or bring your own snacks. Like,
well, that's what I was getting to. Exactly. Yes. So there's a process, right? Like, you have to meet your needs before you go. Mm-hmm. Your needs have to be met. You have to be full. You have to move your body that day. Whatever that looks like for you, it could be different for everyone. Maybe journal about how you're feeling about drinking when you go, before you go. Mm-hmm. Like, write some stuff down. Grab non-alcoholic beverages or lower percentage beer. Taking like a pale ale instead of an IPA is a huge change in how much alcohol you're drinking. And I think that's a great idea. At this point, sometimes, usually someone, Kaylee, you'll be like, can I have a White Claws instead? No, White Claws are malt liquor and they are distilled very poorly and are worse for your health than beer. Please stop drinking malt liquor. Period.
Yeah, you might as well get a Mad Dog 2020 or what was the other one? Strawberry Fields.
Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People don't talk about like what alcohol is made up of. And if you are curious, look up the how malt liquor is made, and it'll spell it out for you. But doing some research about that, Kaylee said, bring snacks, right? Like, make sure that you have something and your water bottle, and really just space it out and just think, wow, this is so cool. Like, I get to go and be present with all of these people. I still can fit in. I can still have a beer or two or three, whatever your method is. Stay under that binge drinking line and get to leave whenever the fuck you want. Mm-hmm. Like, have an exit plan. Oh, I'm going to yoga class in the morning. Oh, I have to work in the morning, which is like, yeah, go home. You know, like, oh, I just, none of your business. Like, I just want to go home. That works too. Irish goodbye. Isn't that what you call it,
Kaylee? Yeah, an Irish goodbye or French exit. I have a dog. So I'm just like, oh, we have to go home, let our dog out.
Yes. Like, you can white lie. There's a difference between lying to yourself and white lying to other people.
So you have to go to bed because you've been up since 5. Doesn't matter if you've actually woke up at 12, like, no one knows.
Yeah. So anyways, like, I just feel like there's so many ways to have this prevention plan in mm-hmm. place. And sometimes it gets fun. Like, sometimes you can journal about it. One of these gals on Reframe, Gal, was saying that she likes to, like, draw and journal about how the night's gonna go.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like, get creative with it. And another great tip that we like to give is, like, text a friend before you go. That is sober curious or sober. Most of us now at this point have a lot of people in our lives or like who are starting to be on the same page, especially if you're a millennial like we are. You know, maybe text a friend and just say, hey, I'm doing this and I just need someone to think about me.
Aww.
While I'm doing it. Yeah, get some love. Get some affirmations from someone that you trust, even if it's your mom, or if you fucking hate your mom, ask someone else, you know?
Yeah.
That was my spiel. And like, that is the advice and the information that we exchange on Reframe on the mm-hmm. forum, just for anyone listening who's like, what's that like? You know, it's like people just ask, like, straight up. The day it was like someone asked, like, they're going through it. They're experiencing a lot of shit with their family around alcohol. And it was so cool. There was 26 comments on it. People just encouraging this person, like, you know, saying either I can relate to this. I'm sorry you're going through this. You don't have to drink today. You know what I mean? It's just so cool to see that community and that, like, cultivated support.
Yeah, it's honestly a really sweet community. And there is an entire cutback track on Reframe that you can that you can join. So
yes, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that that is something that people don't even know that there is to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an entire track. So when you start on Reframe, it asks you whether you want to do like a sober journey or a cutback journey. And then based on that, you get customized prompts. There's cutback calls that you can join. And then you can post in the forum and specifically tag cutback so that other people who are mm-hmm. on that same journey will see that and then respond to you, so that you have that like solidarity in that community there.
Right. And I was going to say, too, just a little bit on the call part that you said. So, like, when Kaylee says call, there's actually Zoom meetings. So, like, you can choose. There's a cutback meeting for people under the age of 30, like, specific to that demographic, which is awesome.
And offensive. Because I'm like, oh, my God, that's not me.
No, but everyone says, like, I'm 31, but I'm still going. Like, you can still go.
Yeah. I'm on the cusp.
Yeah, I just think that for anyone who's like wanting to invest in themselves and their mental health and their relationship with alcohol, $12 a month is fucking nothing.
Yeah, so that's a really good tool. HALT's a really good tool. Finding that community, figuring out what your baseline is, and then tapering from there. So that kind of covers the basics, like a high level overview. We are going to take a break for our supporters and shout some people out. And then we are going to get into some like actionable items, some homework, some things that you can do this week to start to understand your current alcohol consumption and how to start that cutback journey for folks who are interested.
Okay, so we wanted to give a special shout out today for Shan, mom of three. She gave us a 5-star review and left a written review on Apple Podcasts. We just wanted to take a minute to remind everyone that anytime you share, like, review, it boosts the pod. The only way Kaylee and I can continue to set all of this time aside and do this, which we love to do, is if we're getting affirmations from you guys. Like, we want to know that you like it, or we want to know how you feel about it. So if that doesn't look like a review and it looks like popping into our DMs on Instagram or joining our Facebook group at Dry Hard Pod, do it.
Yeah, and let us know if there's something that we haven't covered yet that you want to hear. This is for you. So
for us,
yeah, it's for us, and it's therapy for, it's free therapy for us, and free content for you. So
all right. Oh my god, idiots. Anyways, thank you so much, Shan. We appreciate you. Okay, Kaylee, what are we assigning the peeps today?
Okay, homework. Shouldn't come as a big surprise after what we talked about today, but I would really challenge anyone who's listening to track their drinks this week. And if you can commit to it, track it for as long as you can, because you can start to see patterns like special occasions, weekends, things like that, and start to get a bigger picture of, when am I drinking? How much am I drinking? Why am I drinking? Like, be able to really put that story together of not only just I drink 5 drinks Monday through Sunday, but like, oh, I drink 1 drink on Monday and 1 drink on Wednesday, and then I drink 7 on Saturday. Then it's like, okay, let's focus on maybe just drinking 6 on Saturday instead for the next week. You know, it helps you build your plan to establish that baseline. So whatever you feel or think currently about the cutback method, even if you're not interested in doing it or committing to that or whatever, if you track your drinks this week, it's just a piece of information that you can have about your health. So I recommend that as homework. Katie, do you have anything else that you want people to do?
Well, I was going to say, if you're listening and you're like, okay, cool, well, how do I track that? Write it down.
Use your notes app.
Your notes app. Yeah. I'm just like a writer. So like for me, using my hand is better, but use your notes app, or if you're interested in the Reframe app, it does track your cutback progress and your journey. So, and then I would say, as far as homework goes, when you do get the urge to drink, if you are interested in a cutback app, just jot down why or how you're feeling about it in your notes app. Like when you mark your drink, how did it make you feel? That just gives us so much insight, and adding that tiny little extra 5 minutes into your day to just do some reflecting could really show you a lot about your mindset around alcohol. Is it running the show, or are you? I think that that's kind of the question at hand here.
Yeah. And then I think whether it's regarding alcohol or not, that HALT method, right? Like whenever you're feeling some type of way, do I need to eat? Have I drank water today?
Yeah. Have I met my basic needs? I think that that's huge.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Katie. This was obviously a topic that we both felt pretty passionate about. This episode was perfect. So
we love you. Bye. Bye. Case you die, like your heart will spasm. Best case you
harsh.